Cape Talk, the emerging economy. Focus on India.
Now, on the line is Professor Dilip Menon, the Director and Mellon Chair in Indian Studies at Wits University's Center for Indian Studies in Africa. He is, of course, standing by to give us the latest BRICS update on India, focusing on India this morning. Great to have you with us. Good morning.
Good morning and a happy right day to you.
Well, I must also greet you, Professor, because I know Holi Festival is being celebrated in India today, as we mark Human Rights Day here in South Africa. And that is where we're going to start. I believe there has been a surge in calls to boycott Chinese goods associated with the Holi Festival.
Yes, indeed. And this is this might appear mysterious to most listeners as to why the government and nationalist bodies have been calling for the boycott of Chinese goods. But on February 14th, on Valentine's Day this year, a Kashmiri youth affiliated to the militant Jaish-e-Mohammed group drove a car packed with explosives into a police convoy, killing 40 personnel. 12 days later, there was an Indian air attack on Pakistani space, but it wasn't quite clear what was achieved. But strong statements against terror have come from the U.S. and from the U.N. Security Council, except for China, which has refused to declare Masood Azhar, who is the head of Jaish-e-Mohammed, as a global terrorist. So this has led to calls for boycott of Chinese goods, but the shopkeepers are not having it. They're saying, well, these are cheap, easily available, and we can't have Holi without Chinese goods. So that's some of the ironies of nationalism.
Isn't it just? I mentioned earlier, Professor, that if we think our election list of 48 parties registered for our elections in May is a long one, we ain't seen nothing yet. You have got 2,300 parties registered with the Electoral Commission ahead of India's national elections on the 11th of April.
That's right, but with 1.3 billion people, 2,300 parties are probably not enough. The Indian national elections will be held in seven phases between 11th April to 19th May for 543 seats in the Lok Sabha, which is the lower house of parliament. The ruling party, the Bharatiya Janata Party, it's not really clear whether they'll go the Hindu nationalism way or the development way. But it's quite clear that there are rumblings of discontent in India. The unemployment figures have not been revealed, interestingly enough. Rumors are that we are at a 45-year high with regard to unemployment. There have been discussions on how the Reserve Bank of India has been undermined, the right to information has been undermined. So the problem here really would be whether the opposition parties can put up a legitimate and plausible platform against the Bharatiya Janata Party, or whether the Bharatiya Janata Party, regardless of its Hindu nationalism, will have an easy ride home.
Mm. Professor, just as a matter of interest, what's the security climate like in the run-up to the election? Are there any concerns about rivalry spilling over into violence in the run-up?
Well, I mean, there will be the occasional acts of violence which accompany most elections, like we have in South Africa as well. But you know, the days of booth capturing are over right now. You know, when there would be attacks on polling booths and entire ballot boxes would be carried off. That kind of atmosphere is now largely gone. The problem really would be with fixing of votes and the fixing of rigging of electronic voting machines. Those are the fears. So it's more a fear of the security of the vote being compromised rather than of actual violence.
Okay, thanks for the update. Lastly, India and the United States last week signed a nuclear cooperation deal, which includes plans to build six U.S. nuclear plants in India. What's the latest on that deal and how it's being received in India?
Well, I mean, this is, again, rather surprising news. As we know, in South Africa, we've been kind of going to and fro on the idea of nuclear energy to supplement our power resources. Here, the U.S. and India have agreed to set up six American nuclear power reactors in coastal Andhra Pradesh on the southeastern coast. Westinghouse Electric, which had gone for bankruptcy protection last August, is now back in the fray and is going to be leading this initiative. And the price that they're offering is matching two units which were set up by the Russians in Tamil Nadu. So all of this, there's some kind of murky politics being played out as a form of energy which is being largely discredited in Europe and in America more generally, is now being exported to our parts of the world.
Professor Dilip Menon, we must leave it there. Thanks for chatting to us with the update on India. He's Director and Mellon Chair in Indian Studies at Wits University's Center for Indian Studies in Africa.